This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and for the Bible School today, we're going to have our special feature, and I am going to read from a publication called Seek the Old Paths. This is a publication published by the Church of Christ in Leoni, and that is their meeting house is located between McMinnville and Woodbury, and so you can find the building there along that old road. And Garland Robinson is the editor of this publication, Seek the Old Paths, and he asked me to write a series of articles on marriage under the title of What Marriage Is Not. So I did that, and let me read to you the fourth in that series. Hosea teaches us that marriage is not for the perfect, but for the gracious. In his book, the prophet gave us one of the most beautiful pledges of love in all of literature. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. Hosea 2, verses 6 through 7. These lovely lines are words worthy of wedding vows. The trouble is the context. Perhaps we would hear more of them in weddings were it not for their story. For it is a story of betrayal, heartbreak, bitterness, and wrath. Hosea was a prophet to northern Israel. He is the only writing prophet to come from northern Israel. Amos was a prophet to northern Israel, but he came from Tekoa in Judea. God's wrath against Israel was proclaimed by the thunderous Amos. But God's love for Israel is revealed by the weeping Hosea. God prepared Hosea's heart for this prophecy. Israel had been unfaithful to the Lord. They had sacrificed unto Baal. Whoredom is the word given to the prophets to describe this apostasy, and it's an apt description, for Baal was a Canaanite fertility god, and part of the homage paid to Baal was a fornication ritual with temple prostitutes. God loved Israel, but their whoredom with Baal was a bitter grief to him. God wanted to send Israel a prophet that could reach and could preach with the passion he himself was feeling. So he chose Hosea. The prophet had been prepared for this burden. The Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take thee a wife of whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the Lord hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord." Hosea 1 and verse 2. Hosea took Gomer to be his wife, and she had played the harlot against him. She bore him children who were not his, and then forsook him for her lovers, until they forsook her. Gomer's children are called children of whoredom. Here's the text. They be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. Hosea chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Perhaps Gomer's firstborn was of Hosea, for the text said that she conceived and bare him a son. Hosea 1 and verse 3. The Lord said, "Call his name Jezreel." Hosea 1 and verse 4. The name Jezreel can mean to sow, but here it means to scatter, because God was going to scatter Israel among the nations. Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter, but the text does not say that she bore Hosea a daughter. God said, "Call her name Lo-Ruhamah." The name Ruhamah means spared by mercy. But the Lo at the beginning of her name is there as a negation. Therefore, the name Lo-Ruhamah means not spared and no mercy. "For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel." Hosea chapter 1 and verse 6. For a third time Gomer conceived and bare a son, Hosea 1 and verse 8. But again, it does not say that she bore Hosea a son. God said to Hosea, call his name Lo-Ammi. The name means not my people. God made the application to Israel, saying, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God, Hosea 1 and verse 9. Hosea would plead with Gomer to repent. So also through Hosea, the Lord would plead with Israel. The grief and anger in the heart of Hosea became so like the grief and anger in the Lord's heart that in their pleading it's difficult to distinguish between them. God put Israel away, but he would take Israel back. So also God told Hosea to take Gomer back. Jezreel would no longer mean scattered but sown, for they would be sown into the land to be fruitful, Hosea 1 and verse 11. Lo-Ruhamah would be called Ruhamah, for she who had not been spared by mercy would be spared by mercy. Lo-Ammi would be called Ammi, for God said, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. Hosea brought Gomer back for the price of a slave. He spoke comfortably to her, Hosea 2:14, and sought her heart by promising to be a loving husband, Isha, and not a lording husband, Bala. Hosea did this in part to demonstrate God's own broken heart and love for his people. Again, the prophet would say, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which are not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God, Hosea 2 and verse 23. The words, ye shall be called the sons of God, are quoted in Romans chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, in reference to the Gentiles receiving the gospel. For Israel would be scattered among the nations, and their descendants counted as Gentiles. But they would again become God's people when, with the Gentiles, they would be added to his church. Go back and read those words again. They're not spoken for Israel only. These words reflect the loving commitment God makes to us when he takes us back after our sin. Here is what Hosea teaches us about marriage. As Hosea loved Gomer, so ought husbands to love their wives, and so ought wives to love their husbands. A long marriage is a testimony to the power of patience, loving kindness, and forgiveness. A man may put away his wife for fornication, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 19, and a wife her husband, Mark 10:12, but they're not compelled to do so. It may be they can be reconciled. It may be they cannot be reconciled. When it comes to reconciliation, we must acknowledge, respect, and support the choice of the offended, for that is a choice given them of God. However, reconciled or not, we ought to seek and to give forgiveness, for this is also of God. There are many failures that can occur in a marriage, yet short of fornication, the married are to remain married. My father-in-law performed the marriage ceremony between his daughter and me. In the ceremony, he looked at one at a time, and said, Lori, Bill is not perfect, and Bill, Lori is not perfect. And then he said to us both, I think it would be very difficult to be married to someone who was perfect. We should think on this when our spouse is not perfect. We knew they were not perfect when we married them. And we need to remember that we're not perfect either. It is because we're not perfect that we need each other. It is in the areas wherein our spouse is not perfect that we can complete them, show our love through them, and through them our grace, and cover for them. Paul wrote in Colossians 3 and verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." A gracious man will not be bitter against his wife. Neither will a gracious woman resent her imperfect husband. Marriage is not for those who think they are perfect. Neither is it for those who expect their spouses to be perfect. God requires us to be faithful, but He knows we will not be flawless. He knew we would not be flawless when He joined us together. He designed marriage for those of us who are both imperfect and gracious. Well, now that was the article that I wrote about marriage. Forsake the Old Paths. Let me give you the address to that publication. You might want to write Garland Robinson and ask him to send this to you. Do you have your pencil ready? It is the Leoni Church of Christ, L-E-O-N-I, Leoni Church of Christ, Post Office Box 7506. Let me repeat that. P.O. Box 7506, McMinnville, Tennessee 37111. If you write them, I'm sure they'll be glad to send you this publication. It comes out about once a month. You might also want to search on their website on Seek the Old Paths. It's one word, S-E-E-K-T-H-E-O-L-D-P-A-T-H-S. SeekTheOldPaths.com. And there you will find copies of every past issue that are available for you, should you like to look at them. Now, I wrote that article and I felt like I could read that because I'm the preacher at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, we're studying in this Bible school the Sunday school lessons. Have you ever wondered, well, what was it that my grandparents studied when they went to Sunday school, or maybe my great-grandparents? Well, here it is. I'm looking at Elam's notes. Sunday school notes, he prepared this lesson about the deliverance at the Red Sea, was prepared for the Sunday schools of August the 5th, 1926. And the text is Exodus chapter 13, 17 through 22, and 14, 10 through 16. Let me read this lesson text to you. Exodus 13, 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and return to Egypt." But God led the people about by the way of the wilderness, by the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up armed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn to the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." And they took their journey to Succoth, and encamped at Ethan in the edge of the wilderness. And Jehovah went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of light, that they might go by day and by night, and the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night, departed not from before the people. Now the rest of the text in Exodus chapter 14, 10 through 16, We'll read when we gather again, so mark that in your Bible till we return.